And you are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Brian Kilby here with you. Basically, I have been putting off the show for the past couple weeks. It's been exactly 2 weeks to the day, sorta, since the last show. And I have been putting this off because I have nothing. Nothing. I have got Genrai re-release to review, and that has been painful. I've had severe writer's block, I'm basically just sitting down and doing this off the cuff. So, we're going to start things off a little differently this week. I'm just going to spit out my thoughts on God Genrai, then we'll get into whatever else I might happen to have. Let's see how long this takes us. God Genrai, he is the God Master leader from Master Force. The painfully, or should I say morbidly, childish show in Japan, awkwardly squeezed between Headmasters and Victory. He's basically this punk kid who lucked into a powerful Godmaster warrior. When he strikes his arm bands together, he becomes the engine for his truck, and the truck becomes his robot body. The truck looks just like Optimus Prime. And I really have not ever, as far as I know, been given a good explanation as to why Genrai looks just like Optimus Prime. Either way, Genrai in robot mode merges with his trailer to become Super Genrai, who then merges with God Bomber, who is another little truck, who to become God Genrai. As far as the toy goes, it is basically a retooled version, or not even retooled. I would actually say that it is a modified doppelganger of Power Master Optimus Prime, because really nobody knows, as far as I know, which came first. I'm sure the answer is out there, but from what I understand, there is a lot of speculation as to which came first, like I said, Power Master, Optimus Prime, or Genrai. But the toy is basically the same. If you know Power Master, Optimus Prime, you know he's a brick. He's a big, ugly brick. He has always been one of my least favorite toys. So for some reason, when I heard that God Genrai is going to be released, I jumped on it immediately. Immediately, I say. It's insane. I don't like the toy, but darn it, they're re-releasing it. I want it. I'm such an idiot. Basically, we'll start off with the immediate differences between Power Master Optimus Prime and Genrai. And then for those of you who have no clue what Power Master Optimus Prime is like, if you were, I don't know, if you weren't even born when the toy came out, I'll fill you in on the rest. The immediate differences between the toys are that Super Genrai has retractable fists. That is something that Power Master Optimus Prime does not have, and I like that. And that's a nice touch, because it's always bothered me that Power Master Optimus Prime in truck mode has fists sticking up from the top of his trailer. Also, Genrai, or the cab of the truck, has die-cast metal on the front end of the truck, and real plastic windows. They're transparent. It's not stickers. Also, he is littered with chrome, unlike Power Master Optimus Prime. Genrai, the legs of the Power Master are nice and shiny. Doesn't make much of a difference as far as the toy goes, but it sure looks nice. Otherwise, there aren't too many differences aside from the inclusion of God Bomber, who is a Frankenstein's monster of accessories. For those of you not in the know, he basically is a bunch of parts that are thrown together to make a robot or to make a truck. A really stubby, ugly truck. And a very ugly, stupid, worthless robot. I call it as I see it. Now, for those of you who have never seen Power Master Optimus Prime, he is about a foot tall. He is red and blue. His arms move. That's about it. He's very square. He's very geometric, I'll say. He's pretty crappy. I know a lot of people love the toy. No, I know a few people who love the toy. To me, he's one of the worst excuses for a Brick Master that we got in G1. He consists of a trailer, which forms the super robot body, and a cab, which forms Optimus Prime and the upper body of the Power Master version of the robot. The trailer can also form a battle station mode, which is totally worthless. As far as Genrai goes, just rewind what I said there, and when I said Optimus Prime, replace it with Genrai. Pretty much exactly the same, except for the differences that I mentioned before. Let me say that Genrai is superior pretty much in every way to Power Master Prime, except for some people complain that the die-cast metal does not match the color of the plastic, and that is true. But that doesn't bother me personally. When you actually combine God Bomber to Super Genrai to make God Genrai, you ask yourself, why did I spend this much money? If you already have Power Master Optimus Prime, please skip God Genrai. Basically, what God Bomber does is he adds 3 inches in height to Power Master Prime, and he gives him a shiny metal chest. He has these completely unbendable, very static arm attachments that go on to the arms to make them a bit longer, and he has wings on his back. He is a completely, totally unimpressive waste of $100. Now, I'm saying that from the perspective of someone who already had Power Master Optimus Prime. If you do not, and you actually want one, he's a pretty good deal. It's better than spending $50, $60, $70 on a loose Power Master Prime that someone has probably urinated on, or played with in the bathtub. And did you know that, according to a very famous person in the fandom, that you can catch AIDS from buying loose Generation 1 Transformers? Now, I have never heard of anyone actually contracting the HIV virus from this, but a good source of mine says that it's possible. Okay, let me reassure you, that is not true. You cannot catch HIV or anthrax or anything else by buying Generation 1 Transformers loose. That is an inside joke, and man, that's a joke worth looking up. Go to groups.google.com and look up Deathsaurus and AIDS. That's DEATHSAURAS. And AIDS, man. That's the person who wrote Ravage Three Bodies Evolution. He's one of my favorite people ever online. For those of you who actually haven't read it, you can read Ravage Three Bodies Evolution, which is the greatest fanfic ever written. next to some of MG Dinobot's stuff. You can read that in the archive. Actually, also, it is listed on the Transformers the Movie parody page on the website at tfradio.net. We have it in audio, too. That's really worth listening to. But to get back to what I was saying, for those of you who actually want a Power Master Optimus Prime and don't have one, yeah, Godgenrai is worth it. You can keep God Bomber in the box or something. But for those of you who were weaned on Beast Wars and or even Generation 2, the later stuff, and are used to high-quality toys, no, I would avoid Godgenrai like the plague. As far as I'm concerned, Power Master Optimus Prime is one of the most unimpressive toys we got in Generation 1. I'm just not fond of it. It looks okay, but it's not much of a toy. It's like a statue. And if you like statues, go ahead. But I don't. I'll actually do a properly punctuated, coherent version of that review eventually in text form. For those of you who actually want to revisit this wonderful time that we've had together.
All right, that is it. Jettison the Insecticons. You guys have got to lay off those Hostess fruit pies.
According to someone on Altoids Transformers in the new issue of Previews, which is the magazine distributed monthly to comic shops, detailing what Diamond the Distribution, the people who do all the distribution of comic books, according to the person in the new issue of Previews, there is a listing for the Transformers Generation 1 Season 1 DVD box set. They did not mention a price, but I've heard someone say that it was going to be around $80, which is insane for the number of DVDs that would be included, and only 16 episodes. I mean, Season 1 is not worth $80. I mean, the DVDs could be gold, as far as I'm concerned, and, but, you know, that's, I'm off on a tangent there. Let me get back to this. So, go to your local comic shop and check out the new issue of Previews for that. And I'm really trying to beat some information out of my head. That was really my fist hitting my skull. I'm trying to rack my brain for something that has happened in the past 2 weeks of significance to bring to you, the RSC listeners, but I can't. But I can't think of a thing. More than likely, though, you know, to go to coldhardslag.com for news, or transfandom.com for stuff like that. If you're listening to RSC, you're probably listening because someone fooled you into it.
Hey folks, this is Shortstop the Zapbot coming to you in a pre-recorded bit for your weekend review by Robots in Disguise. Well, first off, let's just say that Fox Kids is running this pretty much 6 days a week, so it's kind of hard to miss the show. It's pretty much everywhere you go. Anyhow, what I wanted to do in this show's bit was basically just go over each of the specific characters that you'll be seeing in the Robots in Disguise show. And I can tell you right now, the show definitely has been growing on me since the first couple episodes. And in terms of what's going on, it's getting a little bit better. There's a couple things I'm not quite sure if I should actually like or dislike. There's a couple things I definitely dislike. And then I'll tell you a story about something that happened to me that sort of opened my eyes into why they were doing this with the show. But first off, let's start with the various characters for those of you who are trying to keep up and just simply don't have time to watch the show and want to know exactly what's going on. Now, to recap from last week, basically, once again, this is not any relationship to Beast Wars, Beast Machines, or Generation 1 Transformers. This is primarily a brand new series that was done in Japan, and they brought over, and when they brought it over, they used the American names for the vehicles and the cars and decided to keep that consistency going with the Optimus Prime, Megatron, blah, 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 blah. But it has no relationship to what's previously established, so basically just consider this a brand new series based on a different idea. Basically, this is, once again, a brand new area, totally parallel universe. And, of course, who do we have to start off with but Megatron? Megatron is, this time, a robot that transforms into a double-headed dragon resembling somewhat of a human hand. Doesn't quite make sense, but that's his transformation. He's also got a jet mode and, I think, a car mode. Now, whether the actual toy does this, I'm not sure because I haven't seen the toy. But in the series, this seems to be his case of the different styles of transformations. Megatron, and the voice acting, once again, is quite bad here. And he's just not... He's trying to be a very bad... I'm trying to think of some example I can shoot from, but quite honestly, I can't because it's just so bad. There's not really much you can equate this to. It's not, he's not scary. He tries to be, okay, let's take it this way. He's one of those guys back in, you know, when you were a kid in kindergarten or maybe, you know, on the playground. And he always tried to be mean, but he couldn't quite pull it off. And people just sort of laughed when he tried to be mean. That's what I'm getting with this series. But, I mean, compared to what the original Megatron from Generation 1, the Beast Wars, this guy is just plain stupid. So, of course, Megatron comes to Earth and whatnot. Of course, who shows up first on the job is Optimus Prime. And once again, this isn't the Optimus Prime we all knew and loved from Generation 1 or Optimus Primal. Different guy there, too, from Beast Wars. This is a different Optimus Prime. His voice is very familiar and sounds very much like Generation 1, but it's played by a different actor. And this Optimus Prime is a fire truck. Yes, you heard me right. He is a fire truck. A lot of people have been complaining, saying, Prime is not a fire truck, he is a big rig. Well, true, but you know what, I always thought that they never had a decent fire truck in any of the original toys, and this one actually looks somewhat decent. So, in that aspect, you know, he's a cool-looking fire truck. I'll say one thing, is that his character in the show is actually somewhat decent, except for the fact that he seems to be completely non-military professional in the way he runs things, so... So anyhow, there's Optimus Prime. Optimus Prime's transformation, of course, is a fire truck. But then, of course, we're running with the let's detach the main cab and then slap everything else on if we need battle mode idea. Where he'll transform into standard robot mode, and then when he needs to go into battle mode, the rest of the cab will come snap onto him and form armor and whatnot. Now, this idea I still think is kind of lame. I haven't seen the toy yet, but I always thought that this idea of having to do the extra components, especially with the original Ultra Magnus, was just a big hassle. And the current Ultra Magnus toy, and I'll get to his character a little bit later, is very cool because the hands are there. Most everything is included. The only thing you have to detach and reattach are his legs. And they did that because, of course, if you have Ultra Magnus and Optimus Prime, you could form a Mega Prime. Yeah, I know, it's getting a little ridiculous, but they're toy manufacturers. They have to make toys. So anyhow, we have Optimus Prime, of course, he confronts Megatron, and who shows up to back Megatron but the three Predacons, which are Slapper, Gas Skunk, and Darkscream. Now, these guys are basically a skunk, a flying squirrel, and a frog. The characters themselves, in terms of the actual show, are pretty much, the Predacons are pretty much the running joke of the show. And I didn't realize this until recently, what their purpose was. But they're not meant to be scary, and they're not meant to be any sort of bad guys, except for the fact of being comic relief. They're basically the Jar Jar of this thing. And for those of us who are a little bit older, and you're pretty much clenching your fist, or maybe, you know, grunching in pain right now, because you've seen this, or you know about what I'm talking about. It's pretty much the idea that, well, we're trying to make the show suitable for all ages, so even little kids will get a joke over these silly little stupid lines these guys relay. So basically, they show up and they transform, and they're battling Optimus Prime in the first episode. Optimus calls for backup. He brings in the Autobot brothers, which are basically X-Prong, which is transforms into SUV, Prowl transforms into a police car, and Cyburn, which is a sports car. Now, once again, these are no relationship to Generation 1. X-Brawn is not Brawn. We all knew in love with the titanium knuckles that got hit in the shoulder from the movie. Prowl's not the one that died in the movie either. These are totally different characters with totally different personalities. They just changed the name. X-Brawn's pretty much a yeehaw type southern guy who's got to, you know, go off the road and do his four-wheel drive. And pardon that extremely bad accent, but you get the idea. X-Prawn's not bad as a character. He's got a couple good lines, and he's serious enough. And the voice for him is actually somewhat done well. Prowl is alright, too. Prowl's voice is actually done well. He's very military, and he's always following it by the book. And then we have Cyburn. Now, Cyburn is another running joke of the show. He's the young rebel kid. But, of course, if this was reality, he would never have even made it past boot camp. Because every time a little red sports car goes by, he runs after it. Now, this is a running joke that creators are doing from the show, but this joke itself got really lame after the third episode. Because, first of all, what is he going to do? You know, is he going to stick his manifold in the exhaust port? There's nothing he can do within the confines of a regular kid show, so why even bring the topic of chasing after something lustful up? If you're going to do anything that resembles any sort of interest in another type of object, you have to do the whole Disney love thing, because nothing else is reasonably intelligent for kids. And the whole concept of him just leaving battle and chasing after red sports car during battle is not only just lame, but it just sets a bad precedent for kids to think that the military is a joke. Oh, you're probably saying you're taking this way too seriously. It's a kid show. But, you know, it's not funny. This one I just don't particularly like funny. It's just he always runs away to a red sports car. And you figure at least he would have the ability to determine that this isn't a real Transformer. It's just an Earth car. But he doesn't. And every time he even points out in one episode, you know, I wonder why they don't talk back. Well, are the Transformers so dumb they can't distinguish between a real car and a Transformer car? I mean, it's just a little too much of the BS factor. Well, basically, that's happened a couple times in Transformers Robots in Disguise, which, like, you're figuring they're trying to take this very seriously. And the jokes are alright. Maybe sometimes they're lame. Sometimes they're actually funny. But, and then they throw in something that just doesn't make any bit of sense, and it's not serious anymore. It's just kiddie-ish. And it just throws the whole balance of the series off. And I'll give you some more examples when we get to the example of Skybite. Skybite is the other Predacon, who is a flying fish. Yes, he's a flying shark that just travels anywhere and everywhere. Underwater, in the sky, or for some reason just decides to stick his fin through the road and make the road a mess as he's just coming underneath the roadway to get a car or something. Skybite is, for me, that just doesn't make sense, okay? If you're going to do animals, do something that can actually fly, not a flying fish. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, even with the Beast Wars and the Beast Machines, they at least had to be a flying animal before they could just fly about. I mean, I don't know why he's a flying shark. Maybe it's some Japanese thing that just didn't translate very well, but to me, that's just a little too lame. He'll come across at the very beginning to be very mean and very agile and the ability to actually cause destruction, but then he'll get his butt kicked way too easily over stupid stuff by the Autobots. And once again, they don't even need to hit the guy. They just need to scare him, and he's either crying or running away in cowardly fear. And he writes haikus on top of that. Now, I'm not even going to go there. It's not even worth the effort. But basically, Skybite first starts off to be serious, and then he comes off acting really dumb and very lame. Now, I will give him to him a couple times, and this is the story I'm going to tell you here. I had a friend over. We were watching an episode yesterday, and Skybite's big thing is he's always trying to please Megatron. He wants that sort of seal of approval for Megatron that he's doing something good, and he never quite seems to get it. Well, Skybite is digging for a hole because Megatron told him to do this, and then he says something, "Oh, finally, after hours of laborious work, I found a ducky." And my friend who's sitting next to me, and he's very new to Transformers. He's a little bit older, doesn't quite get why I'm into Transformers, but, you know, he's watching this, and he laughed outright loud and very loud, might I add. And throughout this whole time of watching the series, I've been hating Skybot and hating the Predacons because their jokes tend to be extremely lame or just very childlike. But then I saw that basically, when my friend laughed, that's pretty much what their purpose is with the show, as with what Jar Jar Binks was with The Phantom Menace. They are primarily here for comic relief. Now, for those of you who remember the movie, remember that one part where Devastator hits Sludge or the Brontosaurus Dinobot on the back and his eyes popped out? And we always wonder, why the heck did they animate that way? Sometimes we have this instances here in the show as well, and Robots in Disguise. One example, Skybite is imagining how he's going to capture the Autobots, and basically he imagines everything as their little kids. So we see these little kid Autobots come, and then all of a sudden this giant net falls on them. He's saying how he will put the net on them and then bury them in an avalanche. And of course, he's represented as a kid as well, and even Megatron in this little dream sequence. So, once again, there's that weird type of humor there, but basically, if they're going to do it, I wish they would leave out the BS factors, you know. Skybite is going to be, you know, Skybite digging and finding a rubber duck, that's funny and that's believable, that's plausible. Him thinking of himself as little kids, that's just a little too far-fetched for my taste. So, once again, what can we do? The show's already been done, but, you know, I just wish that people who would write these shows would have a little bit more consistency in what they're trying to represent. Now, the other group that has showed up, there's two of them. The next Autobot group that showed up is the Spy Changers. Basically, these are the equivalent of the mini spies from the original series. Except, Spy Changers have special abilities. They either blend into things, they have mirage or cloaking, or they travel upside down roadways. You know, they have these weird, just abnormal powers and whatnot. They'll appear out of they'll jump out of a billboard sign. They'll appear out of a billboard sign. So the Spy Changers they're actually all right. I'm quite happy with their voices. But their voices are actually well done, and they're only used mainly for action sequences. So far, I've been pretty pleased with what I've seen from them. The other team that we see a lot of is Team Bullet Train, which is actually quite cool. I'm very impressed with them because for once they try to do a gestalt transformer of just three robots. And this is not the train bots that were in the continuing series in Generation 1, the Headmaster series from Generation 1. This is something totally different. Team Bullet Train are just three trains, speed trains, and they transform into robots, and of course they combine as well. Now, they're alright voice-wise. The one episode where they're trying to protect the old steam locomotive was kind of lame, but generally, they're very cool, and the transformation is cool, and they look cool, and they transform cool. So I have no complaints about them. They're at least a little bit more manly than, you know, the Predacons. So the only other thing we have there on the Autobots side, and this is one of my major complaints of the series, is TIE. TIE is the equivalent of Teletran 1. It's the Autobots' little computer, although TIE is represented as a female hologram with a Tylenol on her head. I mean, literally, she is so annoying. I never thought we could get any more annoying with Bumblebee and Wheelie. Her voice is so bad. I cringe every time she talks. I don't know why. Every episode has to have that one annoying character. But Ty basically just does nothing, except just pulling people up on a computer, which she's a hologram. She can't be touched anyhow. It doesn't make any bit of sense. But for some reason, she can pull up things and interact and she basically sounds the charge for the Autobots to go to their specific locations on their space bridge, which is the Autobots' intergalactic underground thing which they use to get to locations speedily and correctly. It's kind of like a warp tunnel. So that's the Autobot side. Now, where did the Decepticons come in? Because the Decepticons appear later in the show. Well, basically, stealing a little bit from the Beast Wars and the Beast Machines area, Megatron finds an Autobot ship with six stasis pods. And he basically steals the Autobot stasis pods and converts them to Decepticons by infusing his spark within them and also scanning various vehicles. Now, He began to scan these vehicles, and I'm like, that looks familiar. He scanned a big rig with missiles on it, a military rig. Then he scans a tank. Then he scans a helicopter. You guys getting the gist here? He scans a space shuttle. And then he scans a Jeep. Basically, he scans the equivalent of the Combaticons. In fact, that is what the Decepticons are. Except for some strange reason, they decided not to use the original names here. Go figure, they've been using them for the whole other part of the series. Mega Octane is Octane. Yeah, it's Octane from the original ones. Or actually, I think Octane was one of the triple changers. But the rest of them, they're called Robar. They're not Swindle. They even look like the original Combaticons, except for the fact that their colors are different. And it's the same transformation, which is very poorly done, which we'll get to in a second. They're the same. They're basically the Combaticons. Why we're just recycling ideas and using them beats the heck out of me. Now, of course, Team Bullet Train is usually their main opponent. And the three Bullet Trains are pretty much an even match for the five Decepticons. And they don't form Bruticus. They form Rumination. Yeah, go take your pits if you like that name or not. But basically, they form Rumination, and Rumination will battle, Rail Racer, the combination of the Bullet Trains. Okay, so when they transform, what happens? Well, usually they show two major transformations every time, and the transformations are always quite good in the show. Except for the still shots, I have to give it to them that the animation is usually quite well done. But basically, what happens when they transform is that they actually show the actual toy transformation. So it doesn't make any sense, because when Rail Racer transforms and combines, the hands pop out of the proper places, the head comes out of the chassis. That's how reality for a Transformer should be. When Rumination combines, the hands come out of nowhere, slap on, the side guns and the feet come out of nowhere, slap on. They all combine with the main guy, Mega Octane, and then the head even comes down and lands on Octane's head. You don't do that. The best example for Transformation was always Devastator, because you never saw Devastator's hand coming out of the heck of nowhere. So you don't need to show the hand coming out of nowhere for Transformation. Have the robots combine and everything emerge from it. That was the whole point of a Gestalt robot. So the transformation for Rail Racer and the Train Bots, or not Train Bots, Team Bullet Train are fine. But the one for Rumination is just a little bit too lame. But the action sequences, once again, folks, are usually pretty good, except when they throw in the BS factor. So, I forgot two more Autobots. The last episode I just saw recently, Ultra Magnus appear. Ultra Magnus is not the one we knew. He's definitely not Robert Stack playing the voice. Ultra Magnus is basically come from Cybertron, and he wants to lead because Optimus got chose by the Matrix and he didn't. And it's basically the whole Starscream going after Megatron thing again, except it's this time on the Autobots. So, at the time of recording this, I saw the episode. It said to be continuing. I'm not sure what's going on. But I'm sure I'll have more to report next week on what's going on with Ultra Magnus. Supposedly, he's the most powerful Autobot. He's got a jetpack, and he's, after the leadership to lead after Optimus Prime. The other team that appeared out of nowhere is the Build Team. Now, the Build Team are basically the builders in the underground space bridge for the Autobots within the Earth confines. Basically, there are four teams, Gestalt team. And basically, one's a shovel truck, one's a scooper, one's a crane, and one's a dump truck. So we're missing the Mixmaster, the fork one, which was Scrapper, and from the Constructicons. And these guys transform and combine in a very interesting transformation. I'm quite curious of what the toys are going to look like, but they combine to form Landfill. They want to fight. They love building, but they want to fight on occasion. Optimus Prime goes through a whole big long speech like, we need you to build things, blah, blah, blah. But basically has to give in because they need to get to Antarctica. The Build Team needs to build to get the Autobot brothers there. Now, the Build Team wants to fight. They do a very bad job at it. They get their butts kicked, basically. And at one point, Skybite actually looks mean because he's biting into the one car and ripping him apart. But basically, the Build Team are just, once again, they want to fight, they fight badly, but they actually do their job better when they just do their job and do something else to help the Autobots besides fighting. So their transformations are all right. Their voices are sort of like, hey, I'm Joe Cool type of thing, or hey, I'm Rebellious. They're just a little bit too lame and non. I mean, what they do in one episode is basically screw with the space bridge so they could get to the battle scene instead of the other Autobots, which if they were in any other sign of military action or anything, or even if they were in the original Generation 1, Prime would have their asses for that. I mean, come on. You can't tell me that this is a military operation set to protect Earth, and you're going to let your main people screw with your system. I mean, please. That's just not plausible to begin with, unless it's going to be, you know, unless we're talking X-Files, but that's a whole other show. So the series itself is fine when it's serious, because when the Decepticons are trying to be serious, oh, I forgot one more guy. Totally forgot about this. Of course, when Megatron had 6 stasis pods when he made the Decepticons, one of them had to be totally different. One of them he scanned was a big black rig with Optimus Prime holding it. So basically, he got a fusion of Optimus Prime as well. Well, basically, this is what was called over in the Japan series is Dark Convoy, which was, you know, Black Optimus Prime, which was basically this really deep, rich black trailer truck that looks like Optimus Prime from Generation 2. You know, when they did the redo on Prime, he had the missile launcher you could shoot. That's what this Prime is. It's basically a redone of that toy, at least from what I can tell. And his name is Scourge, and basically he's the leader of the Decepticons. He's actually pretty cool. I like the color. The color is cool. The design is cool. He has the face of the original Generation 1 Prime. His voice is cool. And whenever they use Decepticons, I'm quite pleased because they're scary looking, they're mean looking, and Scourge, and the color is actually usually pretty good. Scourge is actually, I like his colors a lot. The design of Scourge and the character is really good. I wish they would just sort of use him instead of Megatron sometimes. But once again, the show's great when they do the action sequences, except when they throw in the BS factor. The plots range from, once again, really silly to somewhat decent. And the Predacons, Skybite, Slapper, Darkscream, and Gas Skunk are pretty much just a running joke. So I'm having mixed feelings on the show. I mean, it's interesting because I'll watch it and I'll think it's cool, and then I'll look at how stupid the Predacons are, but then one of my friends will laugh at them. So what do you guys think? Do you think it's kind of stupid? Give me your feedback. Go to zapbots.com and go to the forum and leave me your feedback, or you can email me at bottomus, B-O-T-I-M-U-S at mac.com. Bottomus, B-O-T-I-M-U-S at mac.com. So email me there and let me know what you think of the new series. I'm having mixed results from all sorts of people. I generally like the idea that Transformers is back on the air and being publicized. We just wish some of the things were just not so lame or just not the same voices, because it's causing a little bit of confusion. And it's basically Hasbro's attempt to just try and steal off of everyone who grew up with the original Generation 1 stuff. The other thing I want to comment on is that the theme song and the music I like. You may disagree with me on this, but I like the theme song. The theme song I find very catchy, and the background music is actually somewhat well done. So once again, go back and leave me your feedback on my website, but you can go to the zapbots.com website, leave me your feedback, let me know what you think, or you can email me at botimus at mac.com. Let me know what you think of the new series. Once again, I'm sort of torn. It's growing on me in some parts, and other parts I just scratch my head going, why did they do that? So, that's it for this week, folks. So I will talk to you later, and have a great day and a great week, and go USA.
If any of you want to email me, the email address is brian@tfradio.com, or you can go to http://www.tfradio.net and click on the email button. Check out the archive. There are more episodes back on yeah, episodes back online. Actually, there are more than are listed currently. I just need to get the files worked out and fix the HTML up, and that will be there too. I get lots of email, but I never read it on air for some reason. I'm going to start changing that, going back to the way I intended to do the show when I started it 2 years ago. Coming up in about 3 weeks will be our second anniversary. So if you have any opinions on something, be it on the fandom's tendency to pirate material, like MP3s, pictures, or the way RID, Robots in Disguise, is turning out, email me or go to the RFC message board at the AllSpark. There is a link at the top of the homepage. Yeah, and I'll start trying to incorporate, you know, listener feedback into the show more. You know, when I started the RFC off about 2 years ago, that's what I was really wanting to do. But since then, it's basically been John Goldie, myself, sitting atop our ivory towers, preaching to you. And really, that's not the intent at all. Email or go to RFC's discussion board and tell us what you think, and hopefully we'll read it on the show. Email me what you would like to hear on the anniversary show.
Transformers the Movie Part 4.
Yes, I know. But besides that, Brian at tfradio.com, email me. See you next week.